Hello, this is Down the Back of the Seats. I'm Ellen, cinema manager at Campbelltown Picture House.
And I'm Alistair, film and theatre maker from the Isle of Mull.
And Alistair, what is this podcast about?
This podcast explores what happens when public spaces and the public meet. What's left behind? What's been found that's unexpected? What stories are there to tell? So it's tales from behind the scenes at the cinema, theatre, concert hall, wherever people meet, linger, and leave things. Or bits.
You are sounding so gravelly today.
The joys of COVID. Yes, I think I'm in recovery from what was probably COVID. You must excuse me if you can hear the noise of a lozenge moving around inside my mouth. But yes, I think a deep voice is quite a good thing every now and again.
Yes, you're in film trailer mode.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, what's he called? Big Red or something like that he's called.
Is it Red Pepper?
Red Pepper, that's it, it's Red Pepper.
Is it Red Pepper?
Yeah, yeah. If you're part of the scene which believes in... Yeah, all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Permanent COVID. I've had lots of... it's been a very bitty weekend at the cinema. Have you heard of Medi-Cinema?
Medi-Cinema? No, I don't know what that is. Is that screenings for specifically medically enabled people? Or
I mean, basically, yeah. It's a delightful, it's a lovely, lovely charity.
Oh, cool.
And each year we do fundraisers all across the country. So I think most of the cinemas in the country do Medi-Cinema preview screenings. And all the money goes to Medi-Cinema, and they build cinemas within hospitals, which are completely accessible. So if you're in a bed, you can get wheeled into the cinema,
amazing.
You know, kids can go while they're in hospitals. Siblings can go with, and parents, and it's just a really, really lovely thing. And yesterday we had a Medi-Cinema preview screening of Paw Patrol, the mighty movie.
Wow!
Which was it was very busy, and it was full of bits.
Ah, yes. The younger audience. The audience of bits.
Yeah, the younger audience. One of the staff, she wasn't actually working at the time, but she was sort of helping out because we were quite busy. And she had her daughter with her, who is very enthusiastic about helping. And she said, Thea, you can go and clean the screen. I want you to run around the screen as fast as you can and pick up as much rubbish as you can find. 3, 2, 1, go. And she's like, yeah. And the first thing that she put her hand on was a chewed up sweet. And she went, I don't want to help anymore. Bye. And ran off down to the other screen, which was showing Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, nice. The animated one or the live
the,
action?
The original, the animated one.
Nice.
They do, it's 100 years of Disney. So they've released some old Disney films and we're doing screenings.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, yeah, and that was also very busy.
And also very bitty.
And also very bitty. So, yeah, it's been a busy and bitty weekend. And also, the other thing that happened over the weekend was power cuts.
Oh, yeah.
It's been very stormy down in Campbelltown, very rainy, very stormy. And so I got a phone call on Friday night from the alarm monitoring company saying your fire alarm is in fault. So I had to, you know, get out. I was so cozy in my bed. I had to get out of my bed. And go down to the cinema. The fire alarm was in fault, which means that all the accoutrements of the fire alarm were happening. So we've got some screens, we've got some big doors that shut, projectors all shut down. So it was all, and I think it was because there were just loads of tiny little isolated power cuts, cutting out little bits of things in the cinema. The cinema's quite a spooky place in the middle of the night, but particularly when there's lights going on and off. Randomly,
yeah.
And as I was going down there, I had a message from one of the staff saying that she was sure she heard a dog howling in the office when she left last night.
Oh, God. So,
brilliant, thanks.
Oh.
So Medi-Cinema Day and busy Sunday, I was just praying that there were no further
power cuts. Yeah.
And there wasn't. And the only lasting legacy of it was that our Landsat, which is one of the things that we receive the films on, was just knocked out. But that was just to turn it off and turn it on job. So
thank goodness. Yeah, because that'd be expensive to replace. And
yes. So that was my exciting weekend of storms and busy busy bits.
I saw a friend in Tobermory had put up, please, Scottish Power, can you sort something out? We're hearing lots of fizzing and smelling lots of burning.
Oh, my God.
So power cuts going on somewhere in there as well. I was like, oh, God.
Oh, so, no. Yeah. They're
nice.
The worst thing. I think I've said them before in the podcast. They're so difficult with cinemas. It's the one that goes, the power cuts and then comes straight back on again.
Yeah.
Those are the worst ones.
I love power cuts in theatre are different because I remember hearing about, it was my favourite theatre company, who actually we mentioned them last time as well, The Right Size, Sean Foley and Hamish McCall's theatre company. I remember hearing them about them doing a show, I think that got a power cut in it in India, and so they went out into the streets and just did the show, and it's like that's
lovely.
Just beautiful. I think I'm doing, you know, Do You Come Here Often, the play about the two men in the bathroom, doing large chunks of that in the streets. It's like, oh, that's just amazing.
Yeah, I love that sort of let's do the show right here kind of attitude. It's really good fun.
So much fun. Yeah, it really is. It goes back to the roots of what the damn thing's all about, and just, you know, storytelling and being together and having fun together, and or not even having fun together, just sharing a moment together, which is just, God, I love it. It really is. Yeah, it doesn't happen often enough.
Yes, it's great.
Did you have on your bingo card for today, Alistair extemporises about the theories of either A, film, or theatre? For those of you who did, that's 1 point. What have you got playing in the cinema at the moment?
Well, as aforementioned, we've got Paw Patrol, the Mighty Movie,
which of course
is the top one. We've got Haunting in Venice, which is the new moustache film.
Oh, yeah.
The Poirot.
It's Poirot. A Poirot movie.
It's a good old-fashioned Poirot movie, which is going down pretty well. Yeah, it's going down pretty well. It is, apparently it's pretty hardcore scary.
Oh, good. That sounds good.
Yeah. It's a 12A, so there's been some sort of youngsters going in with grown-ups. But, it looks pretty spooky. Mm-hmm. We've got, I tell you what, we're about to put on sale something that is strictly embargoed, but it won't be out of embargo by the time that we put this podcast out. We got an email a couple of weeks ago for offering us a screening, which was... It was called Untitled Concert Event, and they wanted.
Please don't say it's André Rieu. Please don't say it's André Rieu.
Well, there's no coyness.
Stinky
when it
poo,
comes.
André Rieu.
Don't you dare diss André.
I know he's your main source of income.
I will fight anyone.
Have you ever seen his version of Earth Song? Ha 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 ha! Oh, it's just. Oh, it makes my eyes bleed.
No, I'm going to fight. We're going to have a physical fist fight.
No. Have you seen that mullet? There's like a hobby horse riding behind him because that mullet is so strong.
No. I won't hear a word against André. Do you know?
Oh, it's absolute turds in a muffin.
Brilliant. Genius.
If he gets bums on seats, well done to him. But in terms of the cultural well-being of our country, he's killing us all.
He's not. He's fun. Do you know, I think I
yes, didn't... in that sort of German. Let's have fun. Oh, this is so good. I'm really enjoying myself. Bouncy, making music. No.
All right, xenophobe. He's not German. He's Austrian.
Yeah, I know that. But yeah, I was meaning the language he speaks.
No, I don't know if I can carry on because you've now dissed André, my main
I just can't stand him. I cannot stand him. Oh, it's so cheesy. It's the most...
Yes,
it's
the fact exactly. That
The audience are sitting so seriously watching this absolute saccharine bilge on stage.
It's saccharine bilge. That's the beauty of it. I love André so much. I can't believe this is the thing that's going to break our friendship. We're going to fall out.
I don't drink much. André. I really don't drink much. But if we have a few drinks, we'll go, let's put on the André Rieu. You'll watch André Rieu and wet yourselves.
That falls just into Mike because when you're a little bit looser, a little bit able to express your true emotions, you turn immediately to the maestro himself, André.
Just Oh, God, I hate him.
My programmer and I, whenever, I can't remember how this happened, but instead of exchanging proper grown-up emails, we send pictures of André Rieu to each other to explain. I've got so many saved photos of André Rieu wearing a Christmas jumper. André Rieu next to a dog.
With kittens.
Yeah, with kittens.
He's the Daniel O'Donnell of classical music. He's awful.
Great, he's not awful. Well, demonstrably, this leads into a conversation which I think is above us. But demonstrably, he's not awful because he is popular. Discuss.
Well, as Terry Eagleton, the literary Marxist critic, would have said in his book Literary Theory, what a bag of big shits!
This is really interesting. Say, Alistair, who are you to say?
Oh, well, I am but one of the vox populi, dare I say it. I appreciate that. What it does, it feeds into a sort of popular classical music thing, which is lovely. I mean, it's so nice that people are engaging with it, and it's competent music, but it's not pushing the culture forward in any way. It's very harking back to nostalgia. You look at the costumes that they're wearing, and they're all wearing these kind of awful frilly little things, and they look like doilies. Everyone's wearing a doily, and the music very often is, the arrangements are just so boring and old-fashioned, and like any emotion that's there is forced and insincere emotion.
But who are watching it are feeling genuine emotions. And why does it have to push the culture forward? Why can't we have nice things?
That's true. We can have nice things, but André Rieu is so absolutely, it's just an echo of what it's been. There's nothing new to say in there at all, apart from it's a best of. It's always a best of.
Hmm.
And that's
okay.
I think I'm more of a B-sides person. I don't know. But it's so absolutely just lacking any spark for me. I just can't. The scale of the production is incredible. Like, there's no two ways about it. And the cost of the whole thing is amazing. You know, the sheer volume of money that's gone into the thing is incredible. And the returns it make are absolutely wonderful. It's so, so good that so many people go and see these things. And it is making cinema, lively and financially viable. But the content is just so low. And it's,
it brings people joy. We can have that as well.
It does.
I'm not André. I am saying we should only have André Rieu. But I'm not genuinely saying we should only have André Rieu. But he fits.
No, popular culture is vital. There's no two ways about it.
Yeah.
And there's different strata in that. No two ways about it.
Yeah. He serves a purpose. He's extremely popular. People are joyful when they come into the cinema, and they're even more joyful when they leave.
But I think it's all cynical. I think it's done purely from I'm going to make lots of money from your emotional realities that are not. It's like false emotional realities.
I think the guy believes it. I think he's.
Do you?
He's been doing it. He doesn't have to do it anymore. If it's purely about making money, then he's minted. He's done it. He's done that.
It's just so. It's the performance of emotions. It's not. Yeah, if it makes people happy, that's a good thing. I think we need all. There's so much misery in the world. It's nice to have happy things, but at the same time, it's just naff.
Yes, it's naff. Yes, I see all these things. I wouldn't deny. I can't believe that I'm ferociously defending André Rieu.
And his mullet.
And his mullet. Because I do sort of ironically love him, but I think I also unironically love him as well. I think I've got to the point.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
It's tipped over into... Also, he brings people into the cinema.
Which is a definite reason to... I just cannot abide it. It just is one
of
these things.
You don't have to watch it, Asta.
Well, I do, because it exists. But, what's nice about it actually is there's very little any preachiness about it. There's no his acolytes don't go out and go, you must have seen the latest André Rieu. Oh my crikey, I was in tears, you know.
And you don't,
when he did Hit Me Baby One More Time with the full orchestra, I couldn't believe it, you know.
You can almost guarantee that he has done that at one point.
Well, André Rieu salutes the majesty of Coldplay.
You don't need any backstory to watch André Rieu either. You don't need to know anything before you go in. You just need to go in and have a lovely, lovely time.
Well, it's interesting, and this is a part of the Viennese kind of waltz culture thing going on, and it's, yeah, it's, I mean, there's, but no, it really makes me, it informs my cultural life to make me know that's everything that I don't want to do.
That's okay too.
Yeah, I think that's important. Yeah. And now over to our sponsor, André Rieu.
Yeah.
Sorry, you were going to say you had a, before I started frothing and foaming, yes. You were going to say you had an exclusive reveal of a concert by someone.
Well, by the time this goes out, then it will be unembargoed, but currently embargoed. So we got this email saying it's an untitled, they wouldn't even say the name of the person, untitled concert experience. They wanted 15 screenings across 4 weeks, which is wild for a concert. It's normally 2 max. And everybody knew what it was. And so the price, let's see, do you know who it is? Or can I do the guessing game with you?
No, please do the guessing game with me, because I know that my favourite concert movie, Stop Making Sense by Talking Heads, is back in the cinemas. And
okay, but do you think that warrants 15 screenings across 4 weeks?
I would go to every 15 screenings in one day of it. It's one of my absolute favourite films. I just love it.
Well, you would be the only one. So 15 screen, unprecedented amount of screenings that we have to do. In order to take this film, we have to do this number of screens. It's too many. The prices, if you're a young person, this will give it away immediately. The prices for the tickets that they've suggested are £19.89.
Oh, lovely. Oh, that's really nice. I know exactly who that is then.
Oh, is it? And £13.13.
Oh, is it Taylor Swift?
It is Taylor Swift.
Oh, that's really cool. I think you'd get a few, not 15, but you'll get a few.
We'll get heaps in. So it'll load quite heavily towards the opening weekend, obviously. But then I think we'll probably get a few repeat screenings. It's a little bit irksome that it's the same session commitments that you've got to make if you've got a 7-screen cinema as you've got to make in a 2-screen cinema. So it does sort of, it kind of binds up our programming for a few weeks. But it's, you know, it sounds great. And what she's done in America, not in the UK, is she is distributing it herself. She's gone straight to cinemas.
She's so clever.
She is, yeah, really like her. Well, I was told before it even was offered up to us, I was told by my staff that they were going to all quit if I didn't get the Taylor Swift concert. So,
that's lovely.
So I have, and by the time this comes out, it will be on sale, ready for people to buy 15 tickets across 15 different screenings, if you would.
How do concert films go down in the big screen? Like, do they tend to go well on screen one?
It depends who it is. So we've not done a huge...
Honor is quite a static viewing experience.
Yes, obviously our biggest seller is André Rieu. We did Cliff Richard a couple of times.
God, oh Christ almighty. Why would you do that? Oh, Jesus, no. Hi, everyone. I brought my bag with me. Hi. You know, no, it's just, I cannot abide that totally.
You're a grump. That's what you are.
Oh, no.
You're an elitist.
It's just...
You're no, in your media, like, elitist bongo, mull bubble.
Espresso Bongo is a fine movie, but man, he still exists. I'd forgotten all about him.
Well,
that's
this was
horrible.
Several years. This was pre-COVID, so I don't know
if he exists
anymore. I'm trying to think of others. I haven't done a concert film for quite a while, apart from André. He's just the staple. So yeah. This is going to be the first one that we've done for a little while. So I'll let you know I'll let you know my ticket sales on a weekly basis.
And I'm very happy that Mr. André Rieu makes people happy. I'm very happy about that. That's a nice thing. But just don't ever, never send me anything André Rieu based.
I mean, obviously, every Christmas and birthday now.
It's sweaters with André's face on it.
Yeah.
And a mullet down the back. You too can have a Viennese mullet.
Tiered, I want to talk about something else other than André Rieu.
Tears on the Seats. That's me watching Audrey Root. No, sorry. Sorry, right. I'll leave it there. Yes, I do apologise. If I've caused any offence to anyone who's a big fan of Audrey Root,
me?
I do apologise.
You've caused offence to me.
Well, I'm sorry, but get it right up you.
Tiered ticket pricing. That's what I want to talk about.
That's interesting. Now, yeah, this is... Yeah, tell me more.
There are schools of thought, and getting a little bit louder as we go on, that ticket prices should be tiered in one of two ways. Way number one is so indie films should be cheaper than blockbusters, for example. So if you're coming to see Avatar, you should pay tenner. And if you're coming to see Scrapper, then you should pay a fiver to try and encourage people to see independent films and to sort of match the amount of money that was spent on the film with the amount of money that's coming through ticket price. And then the other way, way two, is to charge basically sort of by the hour. You know, so if you're coming to see, Avatar again.
Well, that's interesting.
If you're coming to see a three-hour film, then you pay more than if you're coming to see a 90-minute film. Now, we do this, we don't do this, but we sort of very broadly do this. If there's one of these kids' films that's just an hour long, we don't charge our usual ticket prices for that. We'll charge a sort of a much lower, usually just a blanket ticket price. So the same for adults and for children. But, thoughts?
Really difficult. That's a really, really difficult one. Our local arts organisation here on Mull does a pay what you can or pay what you want thing, which a lot of people feel undervalues things, which is real difficult. Obviously, arts are supported, and live arts very often supported by funding from elsewhere, but you still need to make a turnover at the door, really. But this is about trying to increase access and covering those costs from elsewhere within the operations of the organisation. In principle, it's a really noble thing, but in reality, I don't know if they make more or make less, or I don't know. It's a very odd one. It depends how much you value something. But then, at the same time, I think a standard ticket fee is a fine thing. If in many ways, by charging, you know, a standard ticket fee for an independent movie and a Hollywood blockbuster, credits the independent movie with as much, you know, value as that of the big blockbuster, which I think is fair. I think it needs to be affordable. That's the main thing. One of the things we neglected to talk about with Alex last week was the nature of pricing in London cinemas, because to go and see a film in central London is, it's inordinately expensive. Whereas in Campbellton, your prices are much, you know, very reasonable indeed. And so I think if the cost of the ticket is relatively reasonable anyway, it's a nice balance, but I'm not sure. It's not something I've thought about particularly, and the more affordable cinema is the better, but you have to charge for things so that people ascribe a value to them. Found out very early in my theatre career that particularly with workshops, if you were doing workshops for free, people undervalue them and just throw their kids in and walk away from things, or, you know, do all sorts of don't put effort into it. Oh, it's just free, it's a freebie. It's not really how it works. We're doing it, so you have to, you have to ascribe a value to something so people know there is a notional value. But yeah, also businesses, you know, each film is a business and it needs to make its money back. So,
Yeah, I agree. I think incentive based models are dangerous and too complicated to really manage. As soon as you start sort of thinking about it, then it falls apart. We did pay what you can for certain screenings during some film festivals that we did and some one-off screenings. And people generally sort of pay... It kind of averages out to be around about 60% of what they usually would pay for a full-time price ticket.
Would they spend more on their snacks then in that case?
No, that's always the argument, but I don't think it does happen that way. I think it certainly does help people who wouldn't necessarily have been able to afford the film if it hadn't have been in that sense. But generally, people sort of seem to think that prices are a major factor. And that could well be the case in, you know, the most expensive cinemas. But for us and our sort of model, I don't think it's a huge factor. It might be a factor in how regularly people come to the cinema, but it's not huge because we've done Cinema Day where tickets are £3. We've done cozy screenings across last winter where we got a grant and tickets were £3. And if people wanted to come and see the film, they'll come and see the film. If people don't want to come and see the film, then £3, it doesn't encourage them. There's a certain level where it becomes a factor, but generally if a film's going to be busy, it's going to be busy. And if it's not, it's not. Distributors can't dictate our ticket prices, cinema's ticket prices. So they can do it kind of covertly by not allowing you to play their film. So, for example, if I just suddenly decided that all my films were going to be £1, then technically they couldn't stop me from doing that. But what they could do is next time I went to them for a film, they could say, oh, no, sorry, we've decided that we're not going to give you our films anymore, which is, I mean, it's perfectly reasonable. They plough a lot of money into promoting their films. So, I mean, it is something that technically cinemas could do. It's too complicated and too weird. So I'm going to keep an eye on the narrative around tiered ticket prices. I have a feeling that it's a sort of an idea that has been bandied about because we're trying to figure out how to get more people back into the cinema after COVID. And it's an interesting one. And I think it's one that might trundle on for a little bit. But I shall wait and see before I do it myself.
Cool. Yeah, it's a difficult one. It really is. Because it is literally about what your audience are willing to pay to come in. Yeah.
Mm. Right then. Is that Ready? Us?
Yes. And again, I apologise. And I hope we don't get a letter from the Andre Roux fan club. It's rightly addressed to me. I love Mal saying.
We managed to get through talking about Sound of Freedom. Nobody cared. We managed to get through talking about all sorts of controversial films. And now the thing that's going to cancel us is you saying that you hate Andre Roux.
Talking about Andre Roux. Yeah. Yes, I cannot stand that man's work.
All right. All right. Right. Time to go.
If a listener had an interesting tale of bodies or things or even bits found in the back of a cinema or a public space, a
mosque, why are you saying
church,
bodies?
I don't know. I'm waiting for the deep body story. How
I've
would
got
they,
a body story. I'll tell you my body story next week.
How would they submit their story to us? What's the best way?
Please email downthebackoftheseats@gmail.com or you can find us on Instagram or Facebook.
Thank you so much for listening. See you again next time. I'm Alistair. I love Andre Roux. Mm-hmm.